This is Archive Atlanta, episode 260, Athos Menabone.
You're listening to Archive Atlanta, a history podcast where each week I'll be sharing a story about the people, places, and events that shape the history of the city of Atlanta. I'm your host, local tour guide, and total history nerd, Victoria Lemos.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. This week we're talking about Italian artist Athos Menabone. In 1950, Time magazine declared Menabone the heir of James Audubon because of his bird paintings that spanned over 150 different species. But this isn't just a story about art and animals. It's also a love story. It's a story about finding your calling after the age of 40 and the unsung roles of spouses or partners in someone's success. Athos Rodolfo Giorgio Alessandro Menabone was born in 1895 in Livorno, Italy, to parents Everardo and Jenny. He was named for one of the Three Musketeers from the 1844 Dumas novel. Useless trivia facts to keep in your pocket, the other musketeers were named Porthos and Aramis. His father was a wealthy ship supplier, often receiving exotic birds from clients as gifts, and so he even built an aviary for Athos to keep the collection in. Athos showed artistic inclination very early in life, and at the age of 9, he began lessons with an Italian marine painter, and he was later apprenticed to a Belgian mural artist. He also studied with an Italian sculptor. Just before World War I, Menabone attended the Academy of Fine Arts in Florence, and during the war, he spent 4 years in the Italian army under Mussolini. By the start of the 1920s, Athos wanted a change of scenery, and he joined the crew of the SS Colthraps, which was captained by a family friend. Shipmaster John Hachigan sponsored Menabone when he reached the state of Virginia in 1921, which allowed him to legally remain in the United States. He made his way up to New York City, as many immigrants did, and he attempted to carve out a life for himself by painting candles for $12 a week. When he lived up there, he would often visit the Bronx Zoo and the Museum of Natural History to see his beloved animals. By 1924, he left the Northeast for Tampa, Florida to serve as the art director for a real estate development. And after 2 years there, the development went bust and he made his way to Atlanta. So here in Atlanta, his big break came from architect Philip T. Schutze in 1928. Schutze is working on the Swan House, which was home to Edward and Emily Inman, and today it is part of the Atlanta History Center. And as a classicist, the admiration for Menabone's training and skills and just being Italian really makes sense that Schutze kind of would have loved what he did. And he hired him for his first two paying jobs in Atlanta. One of them was painting the pink marble to look like green marble in the second floor bathroom of the Swan House, and then also a little bit later, painting a simulated marble effect on the columns of the Hebrew Benevolent Association, or the temple as it's called today. Outside of that work, his watercolors were part of the Atlanta Art Association show, his subjects being Italian scenes, a study of Mussolini, and new pieces, which were scenes in Piedmont Park. He was also hired to touch up the ceiling of the cyclorama, and he added in clouds. And he exhibited at Davison's art show, winning an honorable mention. Menabone lived in a downtown boarding house where he met his landlord's niece, who would become his wife. Sarah Regina Arnold was born in 1907 in Rome, Georgia, to Henry and Sally Arnold. She graduated from Shorter College, and she was traveling to her aunt and uncle's boarding house that weekend for two separate dates, which, as she describes it, with very corporate American clean-cut guys that she was pretty crazy about. But when she met the Italian artist, she said it was love at first sight, and the couple married in August of 1928. The newspaper headlines read, "Rome Girl Weds Italian Artist." The couple sailed to Italy for their honeymoon and to meet the groom's parents, and Athos returned with new works for a solo exhibition in a space he rented in the Studio Arts building. Wrapping up the 1920s, Menabone worked on the ceiling of the Rhodes Haverty building and a mural inside the Albert Howell House. And although the 1930s in the U.S. was the Great Depression, Menabone was commissioned by the wealthiest of Atlantans to paint their private homes. In one decade, he created murals inside the Goodrum House, Glenridge Hall, Spotswood Hall, the Conklin House, the Paradise Room of the Grady Hotel, the Reynolds House on Sapelo Island, and the Patterson Carr House. In 1931, he was commissioned by J.J. Haverty to create angels for the chapel inside St. Joseph's Infirmary. He also did a lot of stuff for the WPA. So I did an entire episode 219 on the New Deal in Atlanta, and I talked about some of these WPA murals. But essentially, the federal government funded numerous art projects throughout the country, keeping artists employed during the Great Depression. And this style is called social realism. So if you know the Diego Rivera murals of the 30s, it's the same style. And it's really interesting to see Meneboni is also painting in the same style. And a lot of art critics or art historians talk about his ability to really adapt to what is popular at the time. In 1939, he completed 15 reverse-painted mirrored panels for the Mirador Room inside the Capitol City Club, and he also did several projects in Macon, including their CNS Bank, a Masonic Lodge, and the Morris Home. All of this work would not have been possible without Sarah's support. She took the role of wife, but she also was social secretary and agent, sending his work to galleries and finding clients. In the fall of 1938, Athos painted a pair of cardinals from memory, and as Sarah would write later, he enjoyed it so much that he decided to work on a collection of southern bird portraits for his own pleasure. She sent some of the work to an art friend in New York, and by January of 1939, there was an exhibition at the Kennedy Galleries on Fifth Avenue. When asked why he loved painting birds, Meneboni said, quote, "From an artistic viewpoint, birds have everything an artist could wish for. They have beautiful blendings of colors imaginable, and these colors change with each molt. There are some colors in nature that the artist tries in vain to reproduce in pictures, so vivid they are. For instance, I used every red paint on the market trying to match the feathers of the cardinal," end quote. The couple also turned their small midtown apartment into a rescue bird sanctuary of sorts. Sarah wrote that she didn't like birds until she met Athos, and the couple started with a pair of canaries in their apartment and reared 8 of their babies into adult birdhood. She was soon obsessed, and birds filled the apartment. They also developed a reputation for taking in injured birds, so like neighbors, friends, I think people sent one like across state lines. One particular story that was pretty interesting was a story about an American coot. So this is like a chicken-like, duck-like bird, and their friend found an injured one, dropped it off in their apartment. So they're like, you know, trying to fill the bathtub with water so it could swim. The bird is not having it. It's not really eating. Nothing seems to work. So in this like last-ditch attempt, Athos and Sarah take him to Piedmont Park, where first he makes a mad dash for the road, so almost gets hit by a car. And Atho runs and grabs him and like throws him in the lake. And he miraculously starts swimming, swims out to the little island in the lake, and then like joins the other birds and lives happily ever after. It was another experience actually trying to raise baby ducklings in the apartment that made them realize like it's just not working out. So around 1940, the Menebonis purchased 6 wooded acres of land that is in today Sandy Springs. The first structure they built was an aviary for the birds, and they named the property Valle Ombrosa, which translates to Shady Valley in Italian. Athos actually received special permission from the U.S. Biological Survey and then also State of Georgia permits to hunt or capture rare or protected bird species so he could paint them. Sarah began to publish feature articles in the Atlanta Journal, and it was one of these cover stories that got the attention of Reinhardt editor John Allen Selby. Selby extended a book offer to the Menebonis, and Sarah saw this as a chance to share her husband with the world. Menebonis Birds took 3 years to create and was published in November of 1950. All illustrations, 32 plates in full color, were painted by Athos, and all text was written by Sarah. Back in 1941, Robert Woodruff, the head of Coca-Cola, had hired Meneboni to paint some birds on his hunting land in South Georgia. And he loved the work so much that he hired him again to paint some birds for that year's Woodruff Christmas card. This would kick off a 4-decade partnership, with Meneboni painting the Woodruff Christmas cards until 1984. Every year, Atlantans would guess which bird it was going to be. It was apparently a big thing in Atlanta. And nobody would guess correctly, but only Meneboni and Woodruff knew which were selected. The 1950s was the height of Athos' career. In 1951, he created a mural for Cherokee County. He designed a birdcage for the Davison's Tea Room, the mural at the CNS Bank on Mitchell Street. In 1952, he did work at Callaway Gardens. Later in the decade, he created a glass mosaic at the Cerebral Palsy School, which is today the Fraser Center, and he did the famous eggshell mural at the CNS Bank near Emory. This was made with 266 eggs that Sarah sat at the kitchen table and peeled the membrane off of so that Athos could paint and construct the artwork. He also illustrated the American Bird article in the World Book Encyclopedia, and his bird portraits were in the encyclopedia, I think, until the 80s. Also in the 1950s, Menabone's mother, Jenny, and his two sisters, Tina and Margarita, became naturalized American citizens and lived, well, continued to live in Atlanta. So Athos was naturalized in 1939, but his mother and his sisters visited in the late 40s, and they stayed there like allotted visa time. I think it was 2 years at the time. And so what they actually did was they went to live in Cuba for 18 months and then used their immigration quota to enter the U.S. And actually, Athos and Sarah went to Cuba to live with them, and they rented out their property to a couple friend of theirs to care for the birds. But then the family was able to then legally come to the U.S., and then after 5 years here in the late 50s, they all became naturalized citizens. Robert Woodruff continued to commission Menabone, and in 1964, he painted the fabric panels that lined Woodruff's corporate plane. He worked on the newer planes that came in later years, and he also painted for Goizetta when he took over at Coca-Cola. In 1983, he won Georgia's Governor's Award in the Arts, and he was still living and painting at their property in Sandy Springs. Athos Menabone died in 1990 at the age of 94 from complications after a stroke. A service was held at the chapel at Callaway Gardens, and he donated his body to science via Emory University. I found a beautiful quote that I wanted to share, and he says, "Nature is to me actually my religion. It sounds silly, but I never felt the need to go to church because I have the real church, the real creation, outside. Nature to me is beautiful. It fills me completely." End quote. Sarah died just 3 years later at the age of 86 after suffering a heart attack. Her service was held at the same chapel at Callaway Gardens, and her body was also donated to Emory. His mother and sisters passed away as well, all living into their 90s. And while Jenny, the matriarch, was buried, the sisters also donated their bodies to science, which I just found really intriguing. I really fell in love with the story when I was researching it. And of course, I ordered my own copy of Menabone's Birds, but I found a signed original copy, so signed by both Athos and Sarah. I am so excited. It's coming in a couple of days. I'll share on social media when it arrives. If you want to see some of his work, the best place to easily do that is at the Zuckerman Museum at Kennesaw State University. Also, again, some of the private homes still have his work. I know the Goodrum House in Buckhead, you have to make an appointment, but it is open to the public where you can see some of his mural work there. So there you have it, the story of Athos Menabone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember to leave a rating and or a review or listen to the podcast. There's also a Patreon link in the show notes if you want to support the work. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.